Mr. Ellison, real one. When and where were you born, Mr. Ellison?
11th of October 1923 at Mount Pleasant, Berkeley.
What did your father do?
He was a master, what did they call him? Master shifter at that time at Harrington Colliery Kosher Fatfield. And unfortunately, he was killed when I was 5 years old at Harrington Colliery.
Killed down the pit?
Down the pit. He was. It come out and had a fall of stone during the night, and it came out of the pit having cleared a lot of it up. Got word apparently that there'd been another fall and somebody was trapped, and he went back down again as miners would, and he got trapped himself with a big stone, and that was it. So mother was left with five of us, and I think she got about £600 compensation.
Would you be in a colliery house then?
We were, and sorry, previous to that, you were in colliery houses, and if you moved collieries, I understand, I've studied a bit about the mining industry, they were thrown out tomorrow, not a week's time or anything, you were out. And so we ended up, it changed collieries, and I don't know exactly what it was about, just by what my mum told me. I don't know if you know them, there was the huts at Berkeley belonged to the Belgians, and she worked in the office at the ROF at Berkeley at that time, 1928, and she said she'd have to have the day off or something to the boss man, and he said why, and she explained that they were having to look for somewhere to live because he'd moved collieries. This was some time before he was killed, obviously, and he said, oh, don't worry about that, there's an officer's house vacant. And so we got that, and that's where my early childhood memories were, at the huts in Berkeley.
And you wanted your mother to continue her work?
She did then, but we moved from there across to Sacriston to be with an aunt, as you know, people do and did in those days, looking after each other. And about 2 years later, she remarried, mainly for someone to look after. Able to help to keep the kids going, in spite of the fact that we were getting this little bit of compensation all the way along. The first thing she did was having, I always think it was wonderful, having suffered me and moved out of houses one after another, etc., she said, right, she was going to buy a home, and she bought a house which cost £100 in Chesterley Street. You wouldn't believe it. And we lived there for a long, long time.
How old were you when you went to move to Chesley Street?
It must have been about 7 or 8, I think. 7 or 8. Something like 3 years after he was killed.
And presumably when she remarried, the compensation stopped. Was it a kind of a widow's pension?
It was a widow's pension, and it was itemised out to all the children. Myself and my brother, who was only months old at that time, benefited to the extent of up to 14-year-old, something like I think it was about 15 shillings a fortnight. They got something like that. I've got the list in the drawer, like with it all in the compensation app.
So she must have had a pretty tough time for some years.
Oh yes, well, I think 2 or 3 years was a bit rough, you know. Eldest brother was still working at the colliery, but he wouldn't go down the pit again, you know, because of it. I think he'd been down there at the time. But he worked up on the bank, as they called it, you know, after that for a long time. Eldest sister was away in place, as they call it, working in London, somewhere down there, looking after people. Yes, all good stuff.
Were you short of things because of the situation you were in?
I don't think we were. Well, we didn't think we were. We might have been, you know. Didn't have bikes and things like that, you know. But I don't know, what you didn't have, you didn't miss, did you? I wouldn't say we were absolutely short, you know. No, because my stepfather was a brass moulder, and you know, he had a fairly good job, like, you know, so wasn't too bad.
How old were you when your mother remarried?
It must have been 8, I think. It was about 3 years afterwards.
Did you get on well with your stepfather?
Fairly well. He wasn't... he wasn't bad, really, you know. He wasn't really good. He just tolerated you, I think. Yes.
And these were mining communities, were they not?
That was at that time, you know, but... as I say, we come to Chesley Street to live, and he was working through at Gateshead then as a moulder. He had Lumsden's, I think it was, at Gateshead. He used to do a lot of brass moulding.
Did the situation improve when your mother remarried? I think in terms of financial situation.
I don't know, really. I never was really short, you know, weren't... really well off, but one short. We were in our own house, and things got on fairly well, you know. There was the usual ups and downs in the family and whatnot, but I think he took a lot on, really. Like, you know, quite honestly, when you think back, he liked to drink, you know. Every weekend he was off drinking and that sort of thing, so. We never went on holidays or anything like that. You didn't in those days, did you?
Discipline in the home, how strong was that?
Oh, it was fairly, you know, yeah, I think you had to, you know. Mother kept you strict, and she did most of it, you know. He didn't used to bother much. Not that I remember of, no. No, she was the one that taught us everything, the rights and wrongs, etc. Yeah, we paddled on. I mean, we moved from there up to the other end of Chesley Street. We went upgrade, so we must have been better off. We bought a house, semi-detached house, you know, 3 bedrooms.
What age were you by then?
I think about maybe 9, 10. And then we moved up to Sheriff Hill, which was about a couple of years we were there. And I don't know, for some reason, packed up the work there, and he came back out this way to work again at Sacris and Colliery. The brass moulder for the colliery, you know, did all of.
So he moved around quite a bit.
Quite a bit, yes. We were still moving. At one time, at that stage, Mother had 3 houses because she kept her hands on the cash. Eventually sold the older one that we lived in and the other one, you know, for varying reasons. I don't know, during the war, a couple of them went and just lived in the one they lived in. And I was out of touch during the war, you know. Yeah.
How old were you when you started school?
5. I just started school when he was killed, you know. I started in the October. Those days you started school when you were... on your birthday, at Birtley, just opposite the house, actually, and Elizabethville was the school. And he was killed on the December the 4th, so...
Do you remember his death? Do you remember?
No, I remember it vividly, yes, I remember the day.
It's been a very traumatic time for
you. I remember just 2 or 3 days before that, it would be the October... was my birthday, the King came to open the Tyne Bridge. Mother and my eldest sister had gone to try and see the King. And I remember him saying that would be, you know, at 5 years old, you have vivid memory of things. He said, oh, that would be the King going past, because we were sat near the roadside, little old black car, as you remember, George the V. And, you know, I always remember that, him going through to open the bridge. That was a vivid memory. Then the next memory I have is he hadn't come from work. Should have been in at dinner time, and the day went on, and then word came. And of course, at the nightfall, they brought him home. Having had him to hospital and whatnot, the RVI at Newcastle.
Those days when the body stayed in the house, didn't they?
Yes, I remember it being there, and we all had to go and say cheerio, you know.
You had to go and see him.
In the coffin, yeah. Well, I mean, you were too young to really realise what was happening. And they had a military funeral, because he was an RAMC in the DLI, in the Terriers. And they carried his coffin on one of these.
RSM was he?
He was RAMC.
Oh, he was there with the.
He was a sergeant in the RAMC.
But attached to the Durhams.
To the Durhams, they had the RAMCs with him. He was at our Durham, got his medals with it, you know, Durham 8th Durham Light Infantry. And his two brothers were as well. The three of them were all in this. Must have been together. Anyway, he had a gun carriage. The coffin, yeah.
Had he come through the First World War unscathed?
I think he had, you know. I never really knew about that, because he had his territorial medal, and which I've got. I've got them all upstairs. Yes. I don't know how long you were in before you got the territorial medal.
Quite a number of years.
Something like that, yes.
The neighbourhood, did they come together to help?
Oh, yes, I think so, yes, roundabout. Yeah, they were all very, very friendly in the area, yes, yes. And for many years after, they used to come and see Mother, and we used to go there, you know. Oh, yes.
So you started school at Birtley, and because you were moving around, so you must have gone to quite a number of schools in your time.
I did, I came to Edmondsley and Sacrison, but I went to Edmondsley School because we live next. Aunt got her a house there, you know, beside her, and how they protect each other and so on. And went to Edmondsley School. I can't remember how long. It must have been a couple of years, maybe. And then we come down to Chesley Street, and I went to the Red Rose School there for a while. Well, kind of while, until we moved to the other end of the town.
Have you any memories of your school life particularly stand out?
Not an awful lot, you know, you just...
How did you get on with the teachers?
They got on all right. They were, I think they were sort of thinking about, you know, you'd lost your father and this sort of thing. At the beginning, they were all right. The Red Rose, that wasn't, you know, wasn't too bad. Just got on with things, just normal. Nothing exciting.
Did you enjoy your lessons?
Oh, yes. Got into them all right. But I wasn't a brilliant scholar. I always say I learned more after I left school than when I left at 14. And I've always said I learned a heck of a lot more because, I ended up as a manager on the railway, so... let you see, you know, passed exams, etc., etc., for that. And I don't remember. We went from there down to the church school. That's where I did most of my education, Chester Street Church School, you know. And boys until you were 11, and then you went up into the senior mixed and. It was a bit rough there, like, you know, because there's some rough hikes in Chesley Street. Yeah, got the edges knocked off, yeah.
Were there sports at school for you?
There were football and occasionally a bit of cricket, like, but we didn't have the sports fields like they have these days, you know. No, we used to play football, but I was never really keen on it, you know. Was mainly Saturday mornings while I was doing messengers for Mum on a Saturday. And there again, you were expected to pay your bus fare to wherever they were playing. And that was expense. We didn't have a lot of money. So you didn't go. You didn't get involved. It was simple as that. Whereas nowadays, kids, they want a fiver for every little damn thing that comes along. And they get it.
What kind of activities did a child growing up at that time get into? You got into? Not necessarily at school, but out of school.
Out of school, at that end of the town, we used to go over to the river a lot, and we spent a lot of time there. Camps and sludging and swimming. Illegally, you weren't supposed to swim over there. It's a notorious river for deaths, but never mind, we used to go there and we had some good times over there. As you're playing kids' games, cowboys and Indians and this sort of thing, you know. yeah, we had a fair deal, you know. I remember making fires and things out of clay and heating them up on the fire and whatnot, all by experience with that period they were building the bypass around Chesley Street, you know, and I think that was one of the attractions. We were on with that for 2 or 3 years, and we used to tend to get over there and get into trouble pushing the trolleys about. You know, they had a railway there, and you remember that, pushing these trolleys about and knocking them off the road and the watchmen coming and catching you and so on. Yes. That was about it. Later on, we were about 12, got an old bicycle, and we used to go off cycling and up to Finkel Abbey and these places, you know, as boys will.
Really physical activities, weren't they?
Physical. And we used to do a bit of camping. I was able to, well, saved up and bought a tent myself, and we used to go camping for a weekend, you know, on our bikes. Great achievement, you know. Come in handy later on, because you'd already roughed it when you were in the army. You'd already done that. Yeah.
Did the church or chapel have
at the top end at that stage? We went to the chapel because it was nearest every Sunday. For no other reason than it was near, and the Sunday school, etc. And joined the Scouts there. They formed the Scouts, 3rd Chesley Street, which don't function nowadays. But
how
I was in the Scouts.
How old were you when you
joined
the Scouts?
I think it must have been about 11 or something, somewhere about that. And, must have been about 11.
And you'd have a Scouts uniform, presumably?
Oh, yes, we've got a full uniform. And
what did they issue you with, or what did you get?
Got nothing off them. You had to buy everything. I had to buy the lot. Trousers and a shirt and well, I remember the chap that was the scout master who on the chapel. I laugh about it later lives. Like, he was one of these club agents for shepherds at Gateshead, you know. And you could get your uniform through them for a shilling a week, I think it was, something like that. But anyway, it got your uniform, and we were very smartly turned out, the whole lot of us, you know. That was something, if I remember, about 35 to 40 in the troop.
Can you tell me some of the activities that Scouts got up to in those days?
Well, again, we used to go up to Waldridge and camp, you know, the usual scouting activities, you know. Walking about and tramping and spotting trees and birds and things like that, you know. It wasn't really a tremendously active scouts organisation, because not everybody went, you know. Those of us who could go would go, and they had a place up there, an area which we made, building with what, like a stockade with timber from trees and so on, and that was our camp, as it were, you know.
Did they teach you any basic military type drill, marching?
Well, you did your marching, but you didn't think about it as military, you know. We got formed up into ranks of three and learned how to march, and because we took part, and there used to be a competition in Chesley Street in those days of the three different troops of scouts and guides and whatnot, and we won it the first year, so we must have been very smart. It was because we had our new uniforms and everybody was, you know, new in it, sort of thing. But anyway, we moved off, as I say, at that time. We were at the other end of the town, and it was too far to come up and down, you know, travel about. So,
was there a level of discipline expected of you in the Scouts?
Oh, Oh yes, yes, yes. You have to be.
You learn
that, you know, how to be decent living and whatnot, and not to get into bother with the police and maybe whatever they do now, thieving and drugs and whatnot. It wasn't thought of. In those days, it was smoking. You weren't allowed to smoke, which you never thought about. You hadn't the money. End of story.
And the senior members of the scout troop, they would exert that influence upon you.
Oh yes, yes, they were quite good.
And you had no problem with that?
With no problem, no. They're quite a good organisation, really.
Did you get into things like ceremonial parades in the town? I'm thinking of the November the 11th.
Yeah, we used to do all that, you know, walk march for this, and two or three Sundays in the year there'd be a parade on for something or other. Can't remember now offhand what they were, but we used to, three or four times a year that happened, you know. Plus the November business, you know, we'd all parade for that and go down to the main church, actually. Where the other two groups were stationed, they were down at the church, firsts and seconds.
Then you say you moved, of course, and you dropped it because of the distance.
Yes. We went to Sheriff Hill, as I say, and I joined the scouts there. It was a different kettle of fish. It wasn't my cup of tea. I went there for a few months, but they just sort of hung about in the church hall all the time. They didn't get into any real activities or anything. I can only remember once marching down into Gates. I don't know what that was for. Some big parade, we marched down to Gates. Having said that, I give that up, you know.
Didn't join any other youth groups, did you?
No, not after that, no. Well, when the war came, you know, I was 14, I was 14 in, 1937, and started work straight away, as soon as I was 14, but when the war came, I joined the ARP,
Yep, we'll come to that.
Yes, later, yes.
A teenage boy, an older age than we've talked about. When you get to teenage, what are teenagers doing in those years? The 1930s for you, of course.
Not a lot. We used to go down the river a lot, and with our bikes, that was the main things, and go off for cycle rides round about and so on. I seem to remember we used to go off to Bishop Auckland and places like that at a weekend, just for a cycle ride out, or camp for a weekend if it was a holiday weekend,
As you got older, young ladies and dancing and cinemas come into your life?
Well, the cinemas were in, yes, and they were parading about looking for ladies, I suppose, and that came later. I think cash came into it. You didn't have a lot of cash, to be honest. But there was a group of us lads used to knock about together and didn't drink or anything in those days. Just found activities going to the cinema. We used to go to the theatre in Newcastle. I worked in the grocery trade at that time and we had Wednesday off. Wednesday was the day we went to Newcastle, regular Newcastle Empire. Saw these bands, Nat Canella and Joe Loss and all these crowds, Henry Hall, Geraldo, all of them. That was our enjoyment.
You finished school at 14. Had you had any examinations to pass at school?
I had... Well, you had the 11 plus, first of all, which I failed. There wasn't many passed, actually. I think there was about three in the class passed to go to grammar school. And I think the trend was then among us that we didn't want to pass. I'm not saying we could have passed. Didn't want to pass because you didn't want to go to school till you were 16.
Where did you start work? Did you start work immediately, as soon as you left school?
Before I left school, the manager at the grocery shop where we dealt was waiting for me finishing to start the job as a delivery boy, you know, and 10 shillings a week. Wonderful.
What hours did you work to get that 10 shillings?
Oh, dear me, it was... I think we started at 8:30 in the morning, and the shop was open till about 6 o'clock at night. But, I mean, if there was work to be done, you did it. And didn't get any overtime. And on a Friday, it was about 10 o'clock when the shop closed, and Saturday the same. And you might be out delivering groceries at that time, and, like, you know, people wanted everything delivering in those days. They didn't have cars and wouldn't carry them home themselves. And, oh, the boy will deliver them, you know. So there was you trudging around in the dark delivering groceries.
Now, how did you deliver them? Did you carry them by hand or did you have a bicycle?
No, I had a... it was a lorry, I think, not a bicycle. It had a great big wooden box, three-wheeler it was, you know. And it was, when I think back, kids couldn't ride one of those these days, I think. It was something like the Walls ice cream bike, you know. It's 11 walls on it, had Duncan's. And, I don't know.
They're very heavy.
Very, very heavy. And more so when you got it full, because the big box, you could get more in, so you got another couple of orders in, instead of having to come back. You could hardly push it at times. The tyres were right flat, you know. Oh dear. Never mind.
And how long did you do that as a delivery boy?
I did that, I think something like, where am I? I went to Thompson's Red Stamp Stores after that, because a colleague of mine worked there up at Pelton, and I went up to Pelton. I started work in 37. I was at Duncan's 30 or 39, the ward started, and then I went to Thompson's, and I worked there till about 1941. Well, January, I think it was. And I'd been trying and got on the railway at that point in time, you know.
And at the Red Stores, were you delivering or were you actually working in the shop?
Working in the shop. And we used to deliver with a lorry, you know. They had a tremendous system where somebody went out and collected the orders and the cash. And went about five rounds, I think we had it, that five or six rounds with something like 150 people on each area.
Was the pay better at the...
Oh, it was slightly better. Yeah, it was... I don't remember now exactly how much, but it was much better. But when I went to the railway in 41, it was a great big deal better.
Did you hand your money over to your mother and get pocket
money
back? Yes,
that's right. Handed over and got pocket money, half a crown or something like that. And I mean, you were a millionaire with half a crown. And you'd get in the pictures for sixpence, I think, and got into the habit of smoking, which was a stupid thing, but there you are. Yes, and then...
And then you see, you may as well finish the working off until you came to the army. You then went to the railway. How did you get to the railway? What made you go to the railway?
It was some kind? I liked the grocery trade, but the money wasn't, you know, the war was here. And the money wasn't, everybody saying you should be somewhere else for more money. And the railway was more money. You fancied that anyway. Fancy being a train driver, actually, but there was no joy. Before that happened, I was called up from the railway into the army.